Dr. Victor Paul Wirwell.
Thank you. You're very good. You're tremendous, all the way over. Great. Great. Hello. You're gorgeous.
Well, if you're going to applaud all night, we'll never get the word. Bless your heart.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you through your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight, Father, for the ineffable greatness of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, how truly blessed I am because you have blessed your people. And Father, may this be a night to live in the hearts and minds and the memory and the walk of all people who are here tonight. Thank you tonight very especially for our children and for those who could not be here in the auditorium tonight who'd love to have been here but who are taking care of our wonderful children and in a very special way bless their lives. That the abundance of your divine grace and mercy may attend them in a wonderful, wonderful way. Thank you tonight, Father, for health and strength and for life and for the privilege of being here in this, the first of seven heartbeats around the nation. And I'm real grateful to you for your love through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Time and time again in my ministry through the years, I wish sometimes more and more that I could just reach out and just touch more of the greatness of our God. I think many times you people look upon my life and think it's all roses and that I've got such a close touch with God, if I asked him to turn water into wine, we'd have enough to drink in the state of California. But it isn't quite like that in a man's walk. I think all of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who love people feel so incapacitated at times, so inadequate, so incapable, that only if we could just do more for our people, we would do it. I know that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I've felt that way. And I sort of feel that way tonight, gathered with you here at this first Heartbeat Festival in the state of California, yet representing some of the finest people of the United States of America from these seven great states of this area. I wish to God I could help you more. I wish I could just reach around you, put you in my arms, and hold you. And that all the greatness of the love of God that I have in my soul for you would be yours and what you have would be mine. And yet, we have seen throughout this section of the country as well as around the world, and as Howard Allen said tonight, in 41 brother and sister countries, in addition to all the 50 states of our union, men and women, children, young people, like those of us gathered here this weekend, rising up higher and higher to the believing privileges given to us according to God's word. It hasn't been so many years ago when the temperature of believing was at such a low ebb that if I had three people in a class called Power for Abundant Living, I was just radiantly happy, tickled to death. to have three. It looks like this summer, by God's mercy and grace, we're going to have a class that may have 4,000 or more in it. That's just God. As they open tonight singing, "It's Got to Be God." For my inabilities are paramount. There is not the greatness within my soul to make known the greatness of His Word like you people and others around the world are responding to it. It must be God. And yet I do thank God for the privilege that He allows me in unfolding and sharing the ineffable greatness of the inherent accuracy and the great integrity of God's Word with that which I do know by His mercy and grace. And I see all over our country, as well as over the world, the temperature of believing is rising. And I believe we may live to see, by God's mercy and grace, days like in the early church, when whole multitudes of people were delivered, when more than 3,000 were added to the church in one evening without having a roll call and people signing pieces of paper. When 5,000 at one time were added without having an altar call, but with having the call of God from heaven meeting the need of every man, woman there. How time and time again you too must have felt in your life, "Oh, if I could just get a little closer to God. If I could just sense His presence, if I could just lay a little hold on Him more than I am, how grateful I would be." There's a record in the Gospel of Matthew about someone just like that, and that's the record I'd like to share with you tonight. Turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him," behind Jesus, "and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself," "if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned him about, and when He saw her, He said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy believing," pistis, "believing, hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. She had a fantastic need. She got her need and her want parallel upon the promises of God's Word. And all she did was just reached out, touched the hem, and Jesus turned around and He saw her and He said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your believing hath made you whole." Keep your finger in Matthew and I'll show you a little more of this record in the Gospel of Luke. You see, it doesn't always tell you everything at one place regarding an identical situation. But if it's added to at any other place in the Word, if it's an identical situation, that other place or those other places cannot contradict any other place where it talks about the identical situation. In Luke chapter 8, listen to verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. This is added revelation, added information, sir, that we did not get in the Gospel of Matthew. Here was a woman who was diseased for 12 years, and she had done everything in her power to help herself. She had put forth every effort she had to be healed, to get for herself what she needed in her life, and that was deliverance. Spent all that she had. And neither could be healed of any. Came behind him, verse 44, behind Jesus, and touched the border or the hem of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood stanched. Terminated is the word stanched. Stopped. More information, isn't it? She came behind Jesus, and she just reached out and touched the border or the hem of his garment. Jesus never ministered to her, never said anything to her, and yet at that moment she was what? Healed. Immediately, the issue of blood stopped. Boy, people, don't you see that temperature of believing in that woman must have been high? Boy, oh boy. She didn't ask to be prayed for. She didn't ask to be ministered to. She just reached out and just did what? Touched. Just touched. The hem. Didn't hug him. Didn't put both arms around him. Didn't fall prostrate at his feet. Just, sir, reached out and just touched the hem. And immediately, she was delivered. Jesus turned around and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Now, I've got a problem with that. Had he been God, the Word says God knows everything. Never saw that before. Boy, oh boy. Who touched me? What did Jesus Christ know? He knew what he had studied in the Word. He had studied to show himself approved unto God as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word. And the only other thing he could have known, sir, is by revelation. God told him by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of what? That's right. Everybody said, "Nobody." Nobody. When all denied. That's what it says in verse 45, right? When all, they said, "We didn't touch you. Nobody touched you." This great Peter comes along with the great answer he always has. I tell you, he's a human being. I like that Peter guy. He just makes so many mistakes. He gets both feet in his mouth at one time without just changing feet. He puts both in at the same time. And Peter, you know, after everybody, nobody touched him. Peter, they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. There are oodles of people around you, and you say, who touched me? That's a... And oh, Jesus looked Peter right now, boy, and he said, Man, I want to tell you something. Somebody touched me. Verse 46. As Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue, and the word virtue is dynamis in every critical Greek text. And the word dynamis is the word that is transliterated into English in the word dynamite. It is translated power at other places in the word. Jesus said, For I perceive that dynamis, power, is gone out of me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know any other way to teach it than just to tell you that here's a woman who just stole her healing. That's right. She just walked up behind and she was so high, believing so big, that if she could but just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. And all believing equals receiving. She reached out, she touched. She just took it and was made whole. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, that Jesus, piercing through the audience, through the crowd, said, Ah, you. Yeah. She came trembling, you know, full of fear, wondering what this man had laid on her. Because every other religious leader would have raised hell with her. That's right. I went through every record after I left you adults this afternoon. You don't believe this, but it is, bless your heart, where it talks about touching in the word. Every record. And it's amazing what the religious leaders said about Jesus. After this woman, with tears, washed his feet and touched him, they looked upon Jesus with eyes of condemnation and hate. A woman one day was taken, I think, in adultery, the word says. That whole religious gang was standing around and said, Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Jesus came in and flipped his finger around in the sand a little bit. And while he was doing that, he said, Hey, fellas, you guys, any of you without sin, you cast first stone. And he kept writing. About 30 seconds later, he looked up and there were 60 men gone, 70. They blew that place so fast it'd make your hair swim. Nobody left. This woman was used to that kind of religious treatment. That when somebody fell flat on their face or something occurred, then the rest of them would come along and tramp them down harder and harder. And ladies and gentlemen, that's been some of our experiences too in this day and time in which we live, when we were questing for the things of God and wanted the power of God. We just wanted God's help, and instead of people helping us, they just drove us down and down and down. They laughed at you. That's the kind of treatment she thought she was headed for. That's why she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, you good for nothing, lousy woman. You sinner?
No.
You old dope addict?
No.
He called her a daughter. God, people, don't you see the love of Christ? The love of God? He didn't say sister. He said daughter. I call that love. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ so loved that he gave. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have Christ in you, you've got to so love that you give. That when people reach out to you, they get what you got when God so loved in Christ in you. Boy, oh boy. He said, daughter. If you love your daughter, do you help her? When she stumbles and falls, do you pick her up? She just touched. And I see the greatness of this. A mother who really loves her child. The mother like the mother's supposed to be. What does a mother do when that little child falls flat on its face? Or when that child comes running in off of the street crying? Mother picks it up and puts it to its bosom. And what does she do? She pats it, touches it, and says, honey, don't you cry. Jesus Christ will make you whole. And she keeps patting and touching. Have you ever thought about the healing power in a touch? With that healing power of the love of Christ, people can and are delivered. But on the other hand, a touch can be so that it injures and hurts people. God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he gave. You and I so loved that we give. That we touch with all the wholeness of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. He said, daughter, my, isn't that beautiful? Daughter, had it been a man, he would have said, son. Son. Thy believing. Daughter, thy believing. The word faith is pistis in the text. Believing hath made thee what? Whole. Go in what? Oh. Golly, people. To be healed is one thing. To be made whole is something more. 10 lepers came to Jesus. He ministered to all 10 and they were healed. All 10 were healed. And he said, go show yourself to the priest, which was a legal requirement after leprosy, that you'd been healed. All 10, ma'am, were healed. One came back to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says he was made whole. Ladies and gentlemen, what would be the value in life if we were healed totally and completely and lived to be 1,000 years or 10,000 years, but were never made whole? Because to be healed is that physical deliverance. To be made whole, sir, in our day and time, is to be born again and have Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is eternal life. For what shall it profit a man, sir, if he gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he's healed a lifetime, never has a day of sickness or any problems? What shall it profit you, man, if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? For even if you and I lived as old as Methuselah, life still would be short compared to eternity. Somebody described eternity as one little bird picking on the rock of Gibraltar for one little piece of sand a year and carrying it away. By the time he got Gibraltar carried away, eternity had barely started. To be made whole. And that word is sozo in the Greek, which simply means mental wholeness, physical wholeness, spiritual wholeness, financial wholeness, all wholeness, period. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God of deliverance. He's a God of wholeness. That's the God of the Word. That's the God who is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is that God who has called you, who has given unto you the ministry and the word of reconciliation, that you as ambassadors might go forth declaring the ineffable greatness of that wonderful God who so loved that he gave, so that men and women again could be made whole. People, we've got religion in our country up to there. But we lack wholeness of the greatness of the love of God. I heard Cliff, I think it was, sing tonight, "Sometimes I forget I got my life's dream." I've been that way. Sometimes I forget how God so loved me. Sometimes I forget what a nincompoop I am. How stupid. How just every... Then I come back to the Word and I see. And when I see, I behold myself in the Word, because the Word is the mirror of our spiritual quest. And I see myself in the Word in the light of what He is. For when Jesus Christ died, we died with Him. The Word says when He was buried, we were buried with Him. When He arose again from the dead, we arose with Him. When He ascended, we ascended with Him. And in Ephesians it says that when He was seated far above the heavenlies, we were seated with Him. And ladies and gentlemen, we are what the Word of God says we are. We have what the Word of God says we have, and we will be what the Word of God says we will be. Beloved, now are we the sons of what? And ladies and gentlemen, if you are a son of God, you got a big daddy. God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, is your Father. The word says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And some unbeliever said, oh, God, if only his daddy had been a butcher. So... God, the Creator, you and I are His sons. And I look in the mirror of His Word, and I see myself in His Word. And in spite of how I feel, I have to declare what the Word says I am. Because feelings will come and go, but the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. What I think, sir, is immaterial. What does the Word say is what's important. How I feel about the Word is irrelevant. What the Word says is important. Then it's up to me as a believer to renew my mind and to walk in the light as He is the light, to put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand. Then I have to declare that I am what the Word of God says I am. I don't feel like it, but I do it anyways. And pretty soon, if you keep doing it, your feelings will change. You can only change your feelings by changing what you declare. What you testify to, what you confess. Because you're always going to be in what you confess. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? You're in it. In the confession. It says so in the Word. She just reached out, touched the hem of His garment, and immediately was made whole. And He said, daughter, thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in what? Peace. That's my message to you tonight. Far as God is concerned, He's made us what? Go in peace. Can you imagine going back to your state tomorrow afternoon or whenever we get finished here and you start out knowing who you are, where you're going, and you've got that peace on the inside, go in peace. Carrying the greatness of the Word back into your community, into your little old twig. What do you mean, little old twig? It's the biggest thing in the whole world. For God's there. When you're there. There's a record in, I think, Corinthians just tore me up. I don't know how many years it took me to believe it. Because, you know, I'm really stupid. It takes me a long time sometimes to get around to believing God's Word. At least it took me a long time at that time. Wherein he says, had he known the mystery, had he known what you and I know tonight, he never would have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about the devil and the guys working for the devil. He'd have never crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wrestled with that for years. Until one day I saw that the adversary, the devil, would have been a lot better off to let Jesus Christ live than to kill him. Because what God had in store was the hooker. And when the old devil killed the Lord Jesus Christ, he just hung himself or hanged himself, whichever English you like. He just gave himself the works. Because God, from before the foundations of the world, had made up his mind he'd raise him up. And then, approximately 48 days later, something would occur that had never happened in the history of the world before, that it would be available for a man or a woman to be born again. And when you're born, you've got seed in you, man. The first birth, you've got seed in you. I am Victor Paul Werwell by the first birth because of my daddy and mommy. If you like it or don't like it, I can't help it. I'm Victor Paul Werwell. Not because of what I did, but because of what Dad and Mom did. Bless their old hearts. Because of what Cliff and Robin did. I don't think you think she's pregnant, do you? Well, she is. That wasn't a pillow. That's the real living McCoy. At least Cliff McCoy or something. I guess I can tell you this because word's still the word. Don Werwell, the religious part of the Werwell family. Many, many years ago, he and I went to a Christmas Eve service in a very, very small rural church outside of the city of Van Wert. And the superintendent read the Christmas story. And where it talked about Joseph and Mary, and before Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was with child. And he read that scripture, and he was like some people are when they read thoroughly in a class called Power for Abundant Living instead of Truly. He was having that gospel open and he was reading so sincerely. And when he got to that scripture, he read, "And Mary was exposed to Joseph." That was before Playboy magazine days. Today, even McCall's uncovers them. Boy, we were sitting in about the third row pew from the back, and he didn't dare to look at me, and I didn't dare to look at him. We kept scooting down in the pew, so nobody could, because we were... I'm absolutely sure Mrs. Werwell believes that someday I'm going to be reading that and I'm going to say exposed instead of espoused. Every time I read that scripture, I got to breathe right before that word to be sure. About like when I use the word cemetery, because I've been used to calling some of those places that. You're beautiful. Isn't it awful how I get mean thoughts like that? shoot. I think God must have a great sense of humor to put up with us sinners saved by grace. shoot. I know he has. You know, if I just had the time, I'd go through the Word and just pick out the humors sometime and write a book. That stuff in there just blow your mind if you took a look at it. That's right. One day old Moses was hiding in behind his rock. You know, he started going like that. And God went by. And he must have been traveling a little faster than they were at the Indy 500. Or out on the Salt Lake Flats. Because the word said Moses just saw his hind part. just tremendous records in there like that. One day a fellow was out there chopping a tree down or something, you know, and he was laying into it. He must have belonged to Corps. We had him working. That old axe head flew off of that handle. Yeah. Way out there. Almost hit you, honey. And that little old man of God with his beard walked up and he said, "Hey, where'd it go?" I'm glad you came. And one of them said, "Over there." You see, we, those of us who have been so-called Christian from birth, whatever that means, you know, properly baptized, whichever way you got it, we just never saw anything great in God's Word because nobody ever dared to show it to us. But there's tremendous light in that word, tremendous sense of humor. The Word's just got everything. The greatest love story in the world is in the Word. The greatest short story is in the Word. The greatest mystery is in the Word. The Word's got it all, man. Sure is something. I'm glad the Lord loves us. All we need to do is just reach out and touch the hem. Sometimes, you know, ma'am, we get so sincere and so hard at this thing, and we work so hard, we miss all the joy of living. We just have to get to the place that we let go and let God. People, I just have to get to the place that I implicitly trust His Word. If His Word says so in that which is addressed to me, I have to just believe that Word, no matter what the symptoms are in the senses Word. Just reach out and touch the hem. You don't have to spend all night with Jesus. I used to spend all night praying through and never got through. Any of you rest of you tried that once or twice? Yeah, pray all night through. Oh, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Lord, the Holy Spirit I need. And I just prayed through, but I never got through. You can pray till you're blue in the face and get nothing but blue face. You'll get the answer to that prayer when we do one thing, believe. According to His principle, and just reach out, sir, and touch the hem of His garment. Sure, something. Listen to this record. When they were gone over, they came in the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, of Jesus, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased and besought Him, begged Him, that He might only touch, that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's verse 36 of Matthew 14. It's in the book. Just reached out and touched. In Acts chapter 5. Boy, isn't this word of God just exciting and illuminating and alive and dynamic. And how far below par we've lived, because everybody's always pushing us down. Who Who has dared to come and say to us that we are what the Word of God says we are? That we have what the Word of God says we have? Outside of this ministry, I haven't seen it. In Acts chapter 5 last night, I read to you this record. Verse 14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, just at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They just laid out there that when Peter walked down to the grocery store, down to the Kmart, that as he walked down, if just his shadow might cover them. You know, a shadow is an image produced by reflected light. It's not the real McCoy, it's just a shadow. It's an image produced by reflected light. But they so believed that Jesus Christ was in Peter, and that Word of God dwelt richly within him, and he was in the Word, to the end that when Peter walked down, he reflected the image, the reflection of Christ in him, the hope of glory. And as his shadow fell upon the sick people, the shadow falling on them, they believed to be healed. Because he was radiating the dynamic of the reality of the Christ in him, the hope of glory. Just the shadow. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no healing in a shadow. The healing is in believing. But if you and I believe tonight that if we could but touch this teaching pulpit, we'd be healed. God would honor that believing, for all believing equals receiving. That's the temperature of believing, ladies and gentlemen. Peter walking by, just his shadow, people got delivered. Today you can teach the Word of God on healing till you're blue in the face. Still people don't get delivered. Why? Because the Word of God is not the will of God. It's nice talk many times. It's a mental assent, but it's not a heartfelt reality of truth. Boy, when that Word of God becomes living and real to you, that it means what it says and says what it means, and that God has a purpose for everything he says, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, to whom he says it, when he says it, you begin breathing new breath. You begin seeing new light. Your eyes begin to focus on a newness of life that makes life worth living, with a capital L, capital I, capital B, capital I, capital N, capital J. Because, ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus Christ, life is hell and not worth living. With him, it is worth everything you and I can believe for. Just the shadow of Peter. Just the shadow. Healing. That temperature of believing had arisen in the first century church. To the end, when these men of God walked, things happened. When they talked, people got delivered. Why? because they believed in the integrity and the inerrant as well as inherent accuracy of God's word as men spoke it even before it was written. You and I have the written word. Most of them, class, never had the written word. They only had the spoken word. That's why Paul says, by divine revelation, I thank my God that when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as in truth the word of God. They believed the spoken word. You and I many times have a difficulty believing the written word. We'll read a theorem in a math class, believe it. We'll drive down the street and see a sign on the bank that says temperature and time. We'll believe it. We get a statement from the bank at the end of the month. We'll believe it. But God, who gave us His word, sir, over a couple thousand years, with over 66 different men writing, no contradiction in it, we won't believe God's word, but we'll believe the clock on the bank and the temperature. No wonder we're freezing to death spiritually. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, God is spirit. And if you're ever to know spirit, sir, you've got to go to the word. It's the word that makes known the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to read it for yourself. Learn to digest your own spiritual food. Don't let anybody else chew it for you and then put it in your stupid mouth. That's regurgitating spiritually. Learn the word, word. And it says, ma'am, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto whom? Amen. You don't study to show yourself approved of E.P. Weirwill. That's right. Or to Johnny Jump Up, Henry Beloco, Snowball Pete, these are all casts of characters coming up this summer. Men, women, we study the word to show ourselves approved unto the head elder. No. Head deacon, head bishop, head pope. Nope! Show ourselves approved unto whom? God! As workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. It's good law. Man, what a record. And how I praise God tonight. Where the word of God says, Paul said it, I judge not my own self. You know what a day that is when you get to that place that you no longer sit in judgment on yourself, no longer in condemnation over yourself? If I'm not even going to judge myself, what right do you have to judge me? If you don't judge yourself right, sir, have I to judge you? None whatsoever. You know why? Because God's going to judge the both of us. And I think we ought to let the judgment up to God. He's a lot smarter than you and I anyways. And I want to tell you, He's a lot more loving and just and compassionate. Oh, people, you turn me on, or the word does. I don't know which. Make much difference. I'm turned on. I'll never forget the night of Rock of Ages. Was it 72? When my heart burned with the greatness of John 9, the man who was born blind, and got delivered by Jesus Christ, and he didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. Lordy, I'd have never delivered him unless he'd have said, Weirwill, thank you. praise God I'm not God or Jesus Christ. And they excommunicated him out of the fellowship, remember? He couldn't even buy bread in town. They closed everything off. Had nowhere to go, nobody to love him. And, sir, there's the record in John where it says, and Jesus went and found him. That's our Savior. The world may laugh at us. The world may turn against us. People may say this and say that. Jesus Christ is always voting for you. He's always looking at you. He's always tenderly loving you, drawing you to himself. He found him. Ladies and gentlemen, what a day it was when he found us, wasn't it? We didn't find him. We were so lost we couldn't find nothing. Dead in our trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. And sir, if you're dead, how much you looking for? But he came. For all we like sheep had gone astray. And what's the matter with the sheep that's astray? It's lost. That's all. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, stooped down and opened all the heavens and all the portals of the greatness of his goodness to bring us to this day and hour in our lives where you and I can stand, throw our shoulders back, our heads up, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Where the whole world, you know, the whole thing, the whole ocean, everything else, filled, it'd be so small compared to the love of God. Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Was every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above? Would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God! That's the old hymn. What a hymn. Someday I'm going to get Joyful Noise, sing it, just so I get blessed good. And you, my Jesus, I love thee. I know, not a doubt about it, sir. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. One day I too reached out and just touched that hem and was made whole. One day you reached out and you touched that hem and you were made whole. My Jesus, I love thee, don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, what a privilege it is to serve God. How grateful I am tonight for your love. How grateful I am for God's love to all of us. And may we just stand approved before him, rightly dividing his word. And may we so walk that once again the world has the privilege of seeing the Christ in you. Otherwise, he'd have never crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. For when Jesus Christ, sir, was here upon earth, he could only be one place at one time. How many places can he be tonight? every place where there is a knowledgeable born-again believer. For it's Christ in you. Christ in you, that's two. Christ in you is three. Christ in you is four. Christ in you is five. Christ in you is whatever the number of people we have here tonight born again of God's Spirit. Every place you walk and talk, it's Christ in you when you hold forth His Word. He'd have never crucified Him, sir, had He known that it'd be Christ in you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the word Christian is supposed to mean. Christ in is Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are Christians. Let's let the world again see the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just reach out, touch the hem of His garment. Heavenly Father, how I thank You for the privilege and the wonderful joy I have in my heart tonight with great thanksgiving that You've allowed me to be here in California with these people from these different states these days, and especially tonight to share Your Word and to open up my heart to the people, Father, as You opened up the heart of Your wonderful Son who died for me, that I might live. And Father, may this word which I have taught so inadequately live so dynamically in Your people. Perform great miracles in their lives that they just reach out, touch the hem, and they see the greatness far beyond my ability to make it clear to them. For surely, Father, I love You, and I thank You for this wonderful night in this, the first heartbeat festival in our nation, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.